Well, thank you very much. It's very nice to be here again. And this morning I'd like to share with you some verses from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, and reading at verse 1. Jesus went on into Jericho and was passing through. There was a chief tax collector there named Zacchaeus who was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but because he was a little man, could not see Jesus because of the crowd. So he ran ahead of the crowd and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, who would be going that way. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Hurry down, Zacchaeus, because I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus hurried down and welcomed him with great joy, and all the people who saw it started grumbling. "This man has gone to be a guest in the home of a sinner." Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Listen, sir, I'll give half my belongings to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone, I will pay him back four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Salvation has come to this house today. This man also is a descendant of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Amen. And I'm sure God will bless to us this reading of his word. Now, it may well be that maybe you've heard this story many times, but it may well be that this might be the very first time that you've heard this story. Well, you know, I do trust that we all might leave this place having felt that God has had something new and fresh to say to each and every one of us. And so this morning I would like to look at the place, the person, and indeed to the purpose of this story. You know, sometimes we think, well, why is that story in the Bible? Let me first of all give you the background. You see, whenever you're reading something in the Bible, and for many of you who have maybe heard this story many, many times, we have to ask the question, well, you know, what's going on in the background? What's going on in between those 10 verses? Because you see, whenever you read the Bible, well, of course, what you read, you're only reading what's on the page. But there's always something in the background. There's always something going on the other side. Now, let me just give you an illustration. You know, very often you're in public transport and there's always someone on a mobile phone, isn't that correct? Maybe you're that person. And of course, you can't help it. You can't help but you kind of listen in. And then you're trying to work out what's being said on the other side so that you can get the full story. So let me illustrate. I've got with me my phone this morning. Let's imagine, and you're all facing in the right direction, that here we are this morning and we're on a bus and I'm on my phone and you're listening in. And the conversation goes something like this. "Hello? Oh, hello. Nice to hear from you. Has it arrived yet? Congratulations. What weight is it? What colour is it? Is it petrol or diesel?" Now, you know, I'm going to guess that many of you thought someone's just had a baby. Well, you know, they didn't. They just got a new lawnmower delivered. So they did. So you see, whenever you read a story in the Bible, always remember this. There's always something going on in the background. There's a purpose for the story being there. And that's what I would like us to look at this morning. But first of all, let's look at the place where this story took place. Well, it begins with the Lord Jesus coming into a city called Jericho. And it's considered to be one of the oldest cities in the world, perhaps the second oldest. But you know, it's certainly the lowest city in the world. It's 258 meters below sea level. And it's located in today's, you'll see that in the map, in today's modern West Bank. And that old city has been destroyed. Now, in the Old Testament days, God told Joshua to destroy the city because of sin. And then he put a curse upon anyone who would try and rebuild that city. 500 years later, during the time of King Ahab, the wicked old king, there was a man by the name of Hiel. He decided that he would rebuild it. Well, you know, that curse came true. During that rebuilding process, two of his own sons died during the rebuilding process. But anyway, that's the old city. And today, the modern city is just further down, but back to the old. Now, for many people wanting to get to Jerusalem, they had to go through Jericho. Now, we might ask, why did the Lord Jesus go into a city? And we could say that he himself put the curse on it. After all, as God manifest in the flesh, wasn't then it was the Lord Jesus, a way back, who put the curse upon the city? Why then did the Lord Jesus go through the city? Why didn't he go round it as Joshua did? Well, you know, I'm just so glad that the Lord Jesus came into this world, because, you know, this world is under the curse of God's sin. And you and I should be so glad that the Lord Jesus decided to come into this city. Now, of course, when the Lord Jesus came into this world, God so loved the world, he came for us all. And when the Lord Jesus went through Jericho, you know, it's just possible that he went through that city for that one man, Zacchaeus. I wonder if there's someone here this morning, and you're here, and the Lord Jesus is here just to speak to you this morning. Just one person. You see, this might be like the other side of that telephone conversation. There's something in this story that perhaps you and I don't know anything about. But the big picture, the Lord Jesus came into this world for every single one of us. He went into Jericho for maybe every single one, but maybe he came for just that one man. And maybe the Lord is here this morning just for you in particular. So that's the place. Now let's look at this person, Zacchaeus. Well, we are told he was a chief tax collector, and as a consequence, he was very rich. Because you see, the Romans, they had conquered the land, and they employed some of the people, the Jews who had lived there, to collect the taxes for them. And as a result, they became very unpopular. So he was considered a traitor, a cheat, because he collected more money in taxes than he needed to. So he was a man who was unpopular. He had made a pact at the cost of losing all his friends. He had exploited the situation for his own good. But you know, there came a time when Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And I wonder why. Why do you think he wanted to see Jesus? Well, let me give you a few thoughts. You know, there was an occasion when John the Baptist, he was preaching, and the tax collectors came to hear what he had to say. Maybe Zacchaeus was in the crowd that day. But you know, also too, when the Lord Jesus, when he called his 12 disciples, there was a tax collector called Levi. The Lord Jesus called them to follow him. He became Matthew. Maybe Zacchaeus knew all about him, and he had been impressed by the change in Matthew or Levi's life. But you know, perhaps also too, and this would explain why the Lord Jesus said he had come to seek and to save the lost. Maybe Zacchaeus was lost. Now you might say, well, surely with all that money, he was richer than most people. Surely he would be comfortable. He'd be happy. Well, you know, perhaps not. You know, there's a man in the United Kingdom, and he's part of a very famous family. But he lives all alone today in a big house with all the trappings of luxury. But I've heard two different commentators describe him, saying he is lost. You see, it's possible, somebody once said, you can have everything in life, but if you don't have the Lord Jesus, you've really got nothing. You can be lost. But you know also too, you can have nothing in life, but if you've got the Lord Jesus, then you're rich. You've got everything. Anyway, that's back to supposition, back to the scriptures. Zacchaeus may well have had a big job, but he himself was a very small man. And you know, one day he wanted to see Jesus. But you know, being a small man, he couldn't. Now, you know, the children, they know what it's like, big parade, something going on. So sometimes if they're very small, like Jude, you can put them on your shoulders and they can see. But you know, as they get a bit bigger, you have to take them down the front. But you know, I don't think anybody would have let Zacchaeus down the front. He was too unpopular, probably would have pushed him out the way. So he thought, I want to see Jesus. He had this story of a time when King Charles came to town, and there was a big crowd, and there was a little boy standing at the front. And King Charles, he drew up in this great big shiny Rolls Royce, and he stepped out, and the little boy went, wow, look at that car. That's what little boys would do, isn't it? Never even seen King Charles walking in front of him. He was too focused on the car. Well, you know, very often when people come to hear or see about the Lord Jesus, when they get interested, unfortunately, very often some things and some people get in the way. You know, sometimes we come to church and we think, well, you know, I'd like to become a Christian, but what would my family think? What would my friends think? You see, there's other things get in the way. But you see, Zacchaeus, he said, nothing's going to get in the way of me seeing Jesus. So he ran ahead and he scurried up. That's my word. and he climbed a tree to see Jesus. You know, here was a man who perhaps sometimes even puts we Christians to shame. He made a big effort to see Jesus. Now anyway, back to the story. Here's a man who'd got to the top of his profession. He was the chief tax collector. So he had a big job, but he himself was small. He'd got to the top of the tree in more ways than one. But I'd like you to notice the seven surprises that Zacchaeus got when he met the Lord Jesus. First of all, surprise, he noticed that Jesus noticed him. Now, I'm sure Zacchaeus maybe thought, well, I'm up the tree, I'm in amongst the branches and the leaves, he won't see me. And you know, it may well be, maybe there's someone here this morning and the Lord Jesus notices just you as he noticed Zacchaeus. But I'd like you to notice the second surprise, Jesus addressed him. Now, you know, most people, they didn't bother with Zacchaeus. They didn't like him. But the Lord Jesus addressed him. He said, Zacchaeus. Third surprise, Jesus knew him. And you know, the Lord Jesus, he knows everything about every single one of us. Jesus called him. And again, this was a surprise to Zacchaeus because nobody spoke to Zacchaeus because of his job. Fifth surprise, Jesus accepted him. Zacchaeus, come down. I must come to your house. Now you see, the Lord didn't say, Zacchaeus, if you change your ways, I'll come to your house. He didn't do anything of that. And for you and I this morning, the Lord Jesus, he accepts us just the way we are, regardless of our background. Sixth surprise, Jesus befriended him. Zacchaeus, I must come to your house. And the seventh surprise, you know, I think this is the biggest surprise that Zacchaeus got more than anything else. Jesus preferred him. What do I mean? Well, you know, the Lord Jesus knew that if I go to Zacchaeus' house, I'll lose the crowd. And that's what happened. They all began to grumble. He's going to be the guest of a sinner. And you know, I think this, more than anything else, touched Zacchaeus' heart. And this is a man that kept his wallet close to his heart. This, more than anything, really touched his heart. And you know, this story tells you and I, if nothing else, that no matter how many bad things we have done, we can still get to heaven. But it has to be through the Lord Jesus. But also too, it tells us that no matter how many good things we have done, those good things in themselves, they won't get us to heaven. It can only be through the Lord Jesus. It would appear that Zacchaeus was rich. He had everything. But he was lost. So that's the place and the purpose. The place and the person, but now the purpose of this story. Why this story is in the Bible. You see, very often we just share this story with the children. We read what's on the page, 10 verses, and sometimes that's all we see. But you know, we can see that there's a purpose for this story being here. And here's the purpose. Zacchaeus says this. He stood up and he said, I will give half my belongings to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone, I will pay him back four times as much. You see, if someone really truly comes to know the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, the salvation is not only welcomed in, it's worked out. And this is what it meant for Zacchaeus. This was now something he was doing, not to get to heaven, but because now he had been accepted by the Lord Jesus. These were things that were not the cause of his salvation, but the effect. And the thing that you could never have persuaded Zacchaeus to do before, he now does of his own free will. Now instead of being a greedy, grasping man, he's now a giver. He begins to share. You know, somebody once said, the definition of capitalism, what's mine is mine, I've worked for it. The definition of socialism is what you've worked for is mine as well. But the definition of Christianity, what's mine is his. And that's what Zacchaeus was now practicing. You know, the early Methodists, they once said to John Wesley, could you write out some rules for us to live the Christian life by? Here's what he said. Do all the good you can, in all the ways you can, by all the means you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. And Paul writes in Ephesians, he says, and especially so to the household of God. So here's Zacchaeus. He now has becoming to know the Lord Jesus. Now, I was thinking of another P, and here's the only one I could get. Opportunity. Stick a no in it's opportunity. So we've got the place, the person, the purpose, opportunity. What do I mean? Well, you know, Zacchaeus had an opportunity that day when the Lord Jesus called him to meet the Lord Jesus. And if he hadn't taken that opportunity, it would have been his last. Because, you know, God's word tells us that this was the last time the Lord Jesus took that road from Jericho down to Jerusalem. The very last time. And if Zacchaeus hadn't responded to the call of the Lord Jesus, he would have missed the opportunity. And for you and I here this morning, we might be here next week, the following week, you may be given another opportunity to trust the Lord Jesus, but none of us know for sure. And today might be your very last opportunity to trust the Lord Jesus, because you see, his calling is just the same. And just as he called Zacchaeus, he's calling you and I today just the same. We may have many opportunities, but we might not. We are never sure. And as the Lord Jesus traveled down that road from Jericho to Jerusalem for the very last time, he left behind the tree that Zacchaeus was on, and he came to another tree in Jerusalem. It's the tree in which the Lord Jesus was crucified. And upon that tree, he paid the price of our sin, took the punishment that we deserved, paid the penalty of our sin that we deserved, because the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. You know, the Bible says, cursed is anyone who hangs upon a tree. What does that mean? Well, it means that if you were cursed, you were put on a cross, it means you weren't fit for heaven, and you weren't fit for this earth, a proper burial. So you were suspended between heaven and earth. And when the Lord Jesus died upon that tree, he became a curse for you and I. And in order for you and I to get right with God, we have to trust the Lord Jesus. Now, you know, I'm quite sure that Zacchaeus, he didn't know anything about that tree. I'm sure of it. And yet, nevertheless, when the Lord called him, he responded. Now, it might be well be that there's maybe someone here this morning, and you say, well, you know, I don't know much about the Bible. I don't know much about Christianity. I hear here in Halbert Hall the name Jesus, but I don't know much. Well, it doesn't matter. Nevertheless, the Lord Jesus calls you, you respond. That's what Zacchaeus did. And he knew nothing about the cross in which the Lord Jesus was going to die. The Lord's calling is just the same for you and I today. And so we live in a world that's under a curse of sin. But that's why the Lord Jesus died on the cross, to take away our sin. And in order for you and I to get right with God, we have to recognize that. Recognize the Lord Jesus died upon a cross for our sin, and then trust him as Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we do indeed thank thee for thy great love towards us demonstrated when thou didst send thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus, to go to a cross and die for us there. Father, the message is clear, it's simple, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, Father, now as we part, we seek a blessing. We pray, Lord, if there's any here who do not know thee as Lord and Saviour, we pray, Lord, that they might respond to your call. And for those of us, Lord, who have trusted thee, Father, we pray that we might leave this place feeling that it really was good to be here. This is our prayer. We give thee thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.